I think it's interesting to have devices which can be like a sneaky anapana, you know, when you're looking at somebody and they're talking to you, and for one moment you focus on your breath. Just one breath going in and out while you're nodding, you know, and all that, you know. And it just loosens the hold of the whole thing. And like a mantra is the same thing. Or I think suddenly Maharaji's giggling or something like that. And it just, it's like a knife that just came through and woke me up again. And every one of them that wakes you up one moment will keep you asleep the next moment, you know. It's a cop-out. So it's just a liquid process in which you... Because the anger about having lost it is just a more of the losing of it, obviously. And it doesn't mean that you shouldn't. I mean, the losing into attached mind is for somebody. So that's the question of the good hot fire of a lot of stuff going down. Now try to keep conscious, damn you. I can't. Oh, too bad. Well, it's okay. We'll wait. Try tomorrow. I lost it again. Oh, God. Yeah. It's okay. No rush. You've got eternity. There's no time. Try another lifetime. That's an interesting thing, that element of patience and an appreciation of the process without being so goal-oriented. I mean, being a connoisseur of your own clingings of mind. An appreciator, a true appreciator of the clingings of mind. See what an impeccable word. Look at that. Do you know many lecturers that change their own tape? Yeah, then I can't write the book. I know it all too well, yeah. See, finally there is this place where you say, where you begin, I'll jump into soul for just a second, and I'll come out quick. So
no, that's okay, you can hang out there.
Maharaj used to say to me, don't you see it's all perfect around us? And I was afraid to see it was all perfect because I thought it was not a compassionate place. And also because I was going to have to let go of my unworthiness. Or I was going to have to allow my unworthiness to be part of the perfection. I was going to have to give up being Job judging God, my separateness. I was going to have to give up that space of saying, God, if you'd only done it this way, it would be okay. And there's some way in which being with Emmanuel has, in which he continually talks about, he said, you can be the victim or the creator. The creator is that part that has no form, that is creating the form. It's the play of God. It's God, you are a part of God at play, is one way of saying it. It's metaphorical, but you can call it a soul at play, and this is the curriculum. And when you accept responsibility, that's the sense in which you accept responsibility. And from that one follows, it's all going fine. I have a right to exist. I have a right to be just what I am at this moment. It's going fine. This is the curriculum. It's going perfectly. Including not cooking in the kitchen. Or including trying to cook in the kitchen and not cooking. Including meta. I think that when you find one that catches you in guilt and feelings of inadequacy and self depredation, whatever you put it, put down. You pull back and try to quiet down and see through it. I meditated and fasted for 3 days and I took acid. Those were my methods to try to get behind it, to see through it. The fact that I couldn't write and I was sitting there all day not cooking, right? I mean, I was just, I know it well. I know it all too well. I did a month and a half of it solid. And then I realized that I need a little help from my friends. And I asked some of my friends to help me out, which is an interesting one. That's what the Sangha is about. It's saying, look, I get caught in this one of feeling there. Would you remind me if you see me caught? And you enlist the support of the people around you, and that's the jewel of being in a place like this. Because you can treat each other as Sangha. And when somebody is treated like a Sangha, they rise to it, no matter how much of a, you know, neurotic personality they were before. They will rise to it. So I reached out for help. And that combination, I could feel it was the help of somebody who could come in with me, who appreciated the pain I was in, and also wasn't caught in it, that allowed my heart to rebound and me to come back into this space of appreciating the perfection of that whole thing and how my soul had created it all, and then go on with the play and listen again and hear another form and, okay, this form, why is this form any? So I talk, so I'm talking to a tape recorder and the tape will make a book and that'll be the book. And I'm joyful doing this and the book will therefore be joyful because it will have that joy in it. I mean, better that you should not cook joyfully than you should cook bleh, or whatever. Mm. Can you hear?
Yeah.
I mean, this is what you contribute to this moment, is the fullness of the allowing yourself to be what it is in this moment. Whether it's going to the toilet or whatever. You know. Is that dealing with that question?
Yeah. Kind of on a different subject, but something that came up when we were talking about our being in this community and how we live with each other. And one of the things that a lot of people seem to feel is that there was kind of a wanting to really be able to connect with each person in the community in a deep way, and people feeling like there wasn't the time to do it, and kind of a frustration with the kind of relationships that we have.
How much is enough? I mean, if you and I are ready to be in love, it takes the flicker of a glance. I used to stand with Maharaji and watch people come up in front of him, and I saw how long the transmission took. It took the touching of a foot, it took a flicker of something, and it was all over. The collecting is all out of poverty. But you're not that poor. You don't need anything from anybody here. Then you can enjoy whatever it is that the dance allows. It can be just the fact that you pass in the night. Okay? I run through an interesting sequence, I used to in my lectures, which is very relevant to this. But we've gone through a place where when we fell in love with somebody, we immediately want to collect it. Because we thought we were going to run out. It's a poverty mentality. So you want to know, where's your lover going to be next Tuesday at 10? You know, and so let's marry. Promise me you will not be anywhere but oriented towards me next Tuesday at 10. Is that the one we work on? As if we're going to, it's like junkies that have made a, it's like a connection and you don't want to lose your connection. Yeah, it's a ghastly image, but it's unfortunately it's very relevant, and it has all the horror connected, the fear and jealousy and blah 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 of romantic love. And then as you go in and out and get more spacious, you start to rest in this quality of awareness or isness or loveness or whatever, but you still have this poverty model from the past. And so you walk down the street and you look at somebody and you feel the potential, you feel that in loveness, But your old model is, I better collect. So you say to the person, would you like to build a nest? See? And then you take the person home and you start to build a nest. And then you say, after you've been nesting for a while, you say, well, I'm going down to get tofu and, you know, veggie burgers. And you're at the supermarket and you're at the checkout counter and you look into the eyes of the person at the checkout counter and you see the same damn thing again. And you still got the poverty mentality, so you say, have you considered a ménage à trois? See? You see the problem. And then pretty soon you have communes, and then you have this whole structure developing of possessiveness, which is all out of the poverty mentality. And when do you give up the poverty mentality? Do you realize that it is your heritage to live in love, not to live in the need for love? And that you can throw it away. You don't have to collect it. And you can meet somebody that could have been an incredible lover and meet them on the street and look at them and walk right by without a flicker. You hear what the issue is? Do you hear how it shifts? Just the letting go of the needing to collect. Collecting time and space is based on poverty, like I'm going to run out, like I need. And who you are doesn't. And the joy of living with other people, you don't have to collect them. You can just enjoy them. And just what you get is enough. What more could you want? When is more better? Mm-hmm.
That's like a great opening line for me at a bar. Would you like to build a nest?
Yeah. your nest or mine? Is more the current singles bar vernacular. It's interesting because you meet people and you know that you would savor spending time with them, but the opportunity doesn't present itself. The question is how quickly you let go into what is and how much that will make you suffer. That model of how this could have been something other than it is. And thus you destroy what it is, which is everything. God. Yeah. The working with acts as sadhana is the in it but not of it. So the self-consciousness is not in it. You're not doing it. You are being, and out of the being is coming the doing. And that's a model, but it's also a way of being. And the model in your mind just kicks you away from it. But slowly, 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 model gives way to being. It's like I went to see Trungpa Rinpoche once for meditation instruction. And he said, well, now let us just expand outward together. So we sat facing each other. And after about 20 seconds, he said, Ramdas, are you trying? And I said, yes. He said, no, don't try, just expand outward. Flip, flip. Two-stage training program. It's fun to spend a whole day accepting the responsibility for having created your universe. It's a great day. You know what I'm saying? But it's a fierce, I was talking to a comedian in Hollywood who was dying of a lung disease. He's since died, and And he was very high. He was just floating in a rapture and bliss jhanas and all kinds of stuff. But then he'd come back into blah, and he'd say my friends can't appreciate what bliss there is. They're all feeling sorry for me and all that sort of thing. That was all nice. And then he'd say, I really appreciate this. Now if I could just get rid of this damn sickness. And I said to him, well, I'll tell you. When you're not attached to whether it goes or it doesn't, to whether you die or live, then you will have understood the message of that sickness, and then you'll either live or die. He said, that's a tough lesson. I said, what other one have you got? That's grokking the message. Point where you could be healed in any direction. You're so in the moment of, okay. In Journey to the East, do all of you know Hermann Hesse's Journey to the East? The scar? Anybody doesn't? No? It's a group of people making a journey to the East, which is a journey to enlightenment. And in the journey, they have a servant named Leo. And as it later turns out, Leo was the head of the league. He was the head of the thing they were yearning for, but he was in the role of the servant. And that's been part of my lineage of service, of hearing that, the perfection of the Buddha as servant. People are afraid to think of life as a game because they're afraid that it reduces it, or it means that it's frivolous, or that they're somehow not compassionate enough. When you see somebody dying, you say it's just a game. But that's just the excess meaning you attach to the word. Play, dream, dance, game, lila, sport of God. I mean, when your work around the house, around this place, is just like a flower arrangement, I mean, you are always just the statement that if anybody looks at you, they are liberated through the quality of the way the dish is washed. Incredible. I mean, it's breathtaking. When you're with, I remember being with somebody like Suzuki Roshi with San Francisco, Suzuki Roshi. And just watching him walk, the quality of the way he walked was the most compassionate act. The joy, it's the joy of service. It's the joy of being part of an environment that allows other people to come up and play and dance. I mean, all these yogis are walking around full of their own And you walk through just in your lightness. In your just doing what you do. Just doing what you do. Not milking it for, ooh, look at me doing it. Just doing what you do. And you've just done an act of compassion. It's exquisite. It's breathtaking. I love it. I mean, it just makes me drunk. Makes me drunk. When you don't get lost in the vehicle for hanging out, then you can be, it's so impeccable. The way the form leads to the formless. It's all a big finger pointing at the formless. Or it is formlessness in form. You just see the formlessness right in the form. You are invited into formlessness, which is into the intimacy of nowhere. I tell you, I'm hard to live with. Oh well. You can live with each other's all the time. You only get mine now. I gotta have it all the time. Huh? You never know. You just sit more and more and just see there's nothing to say. Words are birds, there's nothing to say. And then you just see words as the vehicle for being in love together. It's interesting to sit up in front of 2,000 people night after night and just be in love through words. I couldn't care less. I could be talking about the Russian sewer system as far as I'm concerned. It doesn't matter what I do. They say, what do we title your lecture? I don't care what you title it. What difference does it make? Title it so that people will come. Like I teach businessmen a thing called the inner game of business. They all sign up. We're going to the inner game of business, you know. It's God and drag. I mean, it's just... Waiting is. That's one too. That's another stance.
Right.
Yeah. It's no more or less, just another stance. The minute you juice it up, I'm waiting. Who are you? I'm waiting. Hello, I'm Sam. Well, see you later, waiting. Okay, Sam. I remember going in to see my friend here. He was my meditation master, and I came in and I said, it was the 12th day of a 14-day orgy that he runs, and I came and I said, I'm feeling peace. I've never felt such peace. This is what I always wanted. I finally got what I wanted. Just thank you for helping me. I did a whole number. I'm feeling such peace. And he said, fine, now go back and meditate, you know. And I was, you know, he did it just like that. Sure, that one too. That one too. Each one gets real for the moment. That feeling of waiting for deliverance, waiting for grace. And you can see people stuck in every pose. You know, who are you? I'm waiting for grace.
I'm meditating.
I'm doing it. You know. It's like these fixed, you know, like Lot's wife. That's what patience is, really. Patience is living with the waiting. Waiting. It's waiting to go home. It's waiting to be free. It's waiting to accept your true heritage, your true bequest. The identification with the actor and the attachment of the fruits of the actions are the roots of burning out. As long as you are making breakfast and you're a maker of breakfasts and that's who you think you are, you will burn out, no matter which motive you're doing it for. Because you're somebody doing something and you get tired. You get tired. And to the extent that you are resting in your being and breakfasts are being made, it's like your heart's beating now, but you're not making your heart beat. It's just beating. If you had to make your heart beat all day, you'd be exhausted by now. You'd be burned out. Well, screw that. It's not worth it. I can't beat them. So it's a certain kind of place any models you have in your mind of why you're doing it or where you think it's going to lead will burn out, because anything is finite and it's passing. It only works for a while. And the toxicities build up. What burning out does it? Because see, that's why the statement "love is the only marriage contract" is a powerful one, because it says you've got to renew the contract moment by moment. Because one of the things that burns out is you're doing it for something you wanted to do yesterday, but you don't really want to do it today. I said I'd get up at 5, but I don't really want to do it. And the interesting moment is the moment of surrenders again and again and again. But here we are. So surrendering into what is the escape from burnout. And the way in which the situation feeds you. If you're constantly giving out all the time, if you're constantly doing something, giving out juice, using up energy, then you run out. If you see people as taking from you, as needing you, as pulling upon you, people say to me, aren't you exhausted from all the people that want something from you? Well, I was, because I used to think that was what was happening. That was a plane of reality at which that was real. Then I saw another one as they want what they want with their projection of me that they have, and I am what I am. And if they can get it, fine. I am what I am. Then I saw another one as they want what they want with their projection of me that they have, and I am what I am. And if they can get it, fine. I am what I am. I don't have to do anything. I just have to be, and then I'll do whatever I do. It's the resting in being, so that you end up rested and fed by shared beings along the way. Because the minute you identify with doing, everybody else is an object. They are all somebody you do for or to or about. And the minute you identify with an attachment to a fruit of an action, you see everybody else as instrumental to getting you there or not. So you live in the world of objects, not of subject. And there's no feeding for you. You starve to death is what you burn out for. And you've got to get fed by all your acts. Every act should feed you. It can feed you. It does feed you when you're just resting in being. And then the world, the forms are constantly bringing you back into the formless, if you will, till a form grabs you. And then you start to burn out, give up, lose, use up.
So how does the institution function without those roles?
Oh, the game, oh no, it does. You fulfill the roles perfectly without identifying. That's the one. See, for somebody to see that you meet people now and then, like you meet a mother who is, after all, how could we function without mothers? And the mother is a dharmic mother. Their heart is open, they're loving, they're tender, they're caring, they are a good mother, they're really an impeccable mother. And yet at the same moment they're resting in dharma, they're resting in the quietness in this thing. And the role is being fulfilled perfectly. The roles don't change. There's got to be, we only meet through the vehicles of form. We don't have to get lost in them to meet through them. We had a guy, I met a guy at the meditation course in Joshua Tree that you guys were teaching. And you know him. He's a vice president of industrial loans at a bank, or he was in San Francisco. And he was going to be in the bunk above me or something. And the meditation course I had taken before at St. Joseph's or wherever we did before, I hadn't talked to the guy before the retreat started. And at the end of the retreat, I spent the whole retreat thinking he didn't like me. We were sharing a room. And then I snored and smelled and everything. And at the end, the first thing he said was, gee, it helped me so much to know I was meditating with Ram Dass. And it just, you know, I just spent 10 days in total paranoia for nothing. So this time I figured I'm going to find out who this guy is quick before silence goes on, if he's going to be above me, you know. I said, what do you do? He said, I'm a vice president of industrial loans for a bank. There's a role for you. You know, and I said, well, what are you doing here? He said, well, it's a long story. He said, I was the vice president of industrial loan in the 60s, and then I saw everybody was having more fun than me. So I said, screw it. So I gave up my job. I left my family. I went off to the mountains. I took drugs. I potted. I toured. I thumbed. I went to India. I did that for 9 years. Then he said, I happened to be in San Francisco, and I was on the street, and I met the president of the bank. He said, amazing, I should meet you. Your desk just became available again. Would you like to be a vice president of industrial loans again? And I thought, why not? He said, so I went out and got a necktie. And I said, is it any different? He says, entirely different. He said, before I used to be a vice president of industrial loans. Now I just go to this place and I hang out with people all day. The vehicle for us being together is industrial loans. Now you can make that 9-year switch in a flick of consciousness.
Ram Dass, do you think that there is a qualitative difference in helping with certain kinds of people? Like I'm thinking of the kind of supportive, protective environment that exists here, and or in Joshua Tree, Upper Valley, at the Mental Physics Institute. And I know you go into jails and whatnot, but
I think there's suffering everywhere you look, and you relieve suffering wherever you happen to be. If you happen to be when I'm sitting at a country club where everybody got everything they thought they wanted, and they're dealing with the horror, realizing that they're still miserable. There's a lot of suffering right there. And you just listen to what your unique part in the drama is, and wherever you find yourself, that's where you are, the statement that relieves suffering. And you stop thinking better or worse, because that's what we all sit around saying. The nuclear thing is more important than the abortion thing. You know? To who? When? Not to the fetus, you know? I mean, it's all relative, you know? You begin to end up just having to honor these things. I'm not impeccable. It's 5:10. This is... Whatever this has been, it's been a delight. I just want you to know. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.